As we begin a conversation, our theme at Marsh Chapel this academic year being conversation, we together rely on a spiritual quadrilateral of Scripture. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God, it is He who has made us, not we ourselves. Of tradition, we believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in the true person, Jesus, to reconcile and to make new, who works in us in the Spirit. We trust in God. God calls us to be the church, the body of Christ, to celebrate Christ's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. In reason, yield who will to their separation. My object in living is to unite my vocation with my avocation, as my two eyes make one in sight. Only where love and need are one, and the work is play for mortal stakes, as is the deed ever really done for heaven and the future's sakes. And in experience of gain and loss, of victory and defeat, of dreams and knowing when to edit your dreams, we rely on a spiritual quadrilateral. And we engage the questions of the border as we begin a conversation. You know what they ask when you cross the border. It's a good way to begin any conversation, personal or otherwise. What's your name? Where are you from? Where are you headed? What do you have to declare? Boston University, since 1839, has been committed to making and keeping human life human. And all of our 10 presidents, from the beginning until this day, Presidents Warren and Huntington and Merlin and Marsh and Case and Chris Janer and Silber and Wessling and Chobanian, and today President Robert A. Brown, and all of the university leadership are committed to what makes human life personal and human. So your role in the next 4 years is not only to earn a bachelor's degree or other. It's not only to find a way to make a living, but find a good way to make a life, and to do so not by losing, but by gaining your soul, to find that which kindles within you, where your deepest passion meets the world's greatest need, where the inside of the cup fills to overflowing. That's the kind of conversation to which we invite you in the year to come, yes, in worship, yes, in fellowship, yes, in education, and yes, in service. Guiding you are our student leaders, and we brought the best of them before you for the sermon today. Anything wrong with the composition, blame them not. You blame the person in the center of the chancel. But their voices, young and strong, carry the words this day, Casey and Dominique and Ian.
Our conversation begins with Scripture. Consider a verse of Scripture. Whoever does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. You may have occasion to take a quiet walk this week, on the esplanade, down through the public garden, along the Emerald Necklace, out on the beach, your monthly ocean visit, a good goal while in Boston. As you walk, wonder, and wander, as you saunter with a saintly step along the Commonwealth Mall, say, ponder our Scripture today. Luke's collection of sayings here, Luke 14, verse 25, in the middle of 10 chapters or so, Luke 9 through 19, that are Luke's own developed composition, including many of the most memorable teachings of primitive Christianity that are not found elsewhere. The Good Samaritan, the lost sheep and coin, the prodigal son, and others. They are, in all honesty, somewhat inelegantly jumbled together in ways that do not necessarily fully harmonize. Luke 14, verse 25, is composed near the end of the first century, the dating of Luke being somewhere between the writing of Mark and Luke's first citation in other sources, a wide berth, to be honest. The passage carries a hyperbolic dominical saying, not unlike the hyperbole in "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out," setting distance, a disciplined existential distance, between self and parents, self and spouse, self and progeny, self and family, self and security. Following in faith will include loss and conflict. Striking, isn't it, how this prediction of leaving kith and kin, leaving home, intersects with the experience of coming to college. Our text is perhaps best understood in Matthew's rendering. Matthew and Luke both have received the sayings from a shared earlier document known by scholars as Q. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. The use of the image of the cross probably means it was originally composed in the preaching of the church, not in the teaching of the Lord, whose cross was not yet, after all, at this point in the gospel narrative, on the horizon. There is not a direct line, if there is any line at all, from Luke 14 in 90 AD to Jesus' teaching in 30 AD. Luke 14 is addressed to men. Notice the absence of husbands in the list of those to be hated. A further indication Luke, largely inclusive of women, is using a document he has inherited, Q. The reading does not reject the significance of everyday economic, social, familial, political, and even military life. The many parables of tower and king keep our feet on the ground. That is, there is a real respect here for what we might call common sense. Prudent action is the essential theme. Luke 14 asks that we count the cost of a project, the cost of a plan, the cost of a conflict, the cost of going to war. Strictly speaking, the collection of sayings and mini parables, again, some written by Luke, some coming to us from the collection we call Q, then perhaps shaped by Luke, do not come to a neat conclusion in verse 33, the need to renounce all possessions. The general point is clear enough, though. Discipleship costs. Nor, in sum, is this a call to aestheticism, but more a simple readiness for God's demand.
Our conversation faces mortality. Death makes us mortal. Facing death makes us human. Ham Potok wrote in My Name is Asher Lev about mortality, about the frailty and brevity of life, the conditions of our conversations. Father and son, on a Sabbath walk, step over a fallen bird. Is it dead, Papa? I was six and could not bring myself to look at it. Yes, I heard him say in a sad and distant way. Why did he die? Everything that lives must die. Everything? Yes. You too, Papa? And Mama? Yes. And me? Yes, he said. But then he added in Yiddish, but may it be only after you live a long and happy life, my Asher. I couldn't grasp it. I forced myself to look at the bird. Everything alive would one day be as still as that bird? Why? I asked. That's the way the Rabbono Shel Olam made this world, Asher. Why? So life would be precious, Asher. Something that is yours forever is never precious.
The true, good, and beautiful are at the heart of our conversation. Jared Manley Hopkins wrote about uniqueness, distinction, and individuality, the spice in our conversation. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire-coal chestnut falls, finches' wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow, and all trades, their gear and tackle and trim. All things counter, original, spare, strange. Whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how. With swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle, dim. He fathers forth whose beauty is past change. Praise him.
So welcome to the varied ministry of Marsh Chapel at Boston University. We look forward to getting to know you as you sign up to sing in a choir, as you volunteer to usher or greet, as you attend a fellowship or study group, and especially as you worship with us on Sunday at 11 a.m. The envisioned mission of Marsh Chapel is to be a heart in the heart of the city and a service in the service of the city. To that end, Dr. Jarrett will invite you to vocal expressions of faith in the life of our music program. To that end, Ms. Chica will invite you to global outreach in our work with international students. To that end, Brother Whitney will invite you to take part and take leadership in campus student ministry. To that end, Mr. Bouchard will solicit your support for work and works in hospitality. This year, with our emphasis on voice, vocation, and volume in our shared life, we are using as a focus for our work the term conversation. What are the healthy types of conversation in our current experience? What forms of conversation fall short of full conversation? Do you know a good conversation only in retrospect because it leads to another? If prayer is our conversation with God and God's with us, especially in the Psalms come Sunday, what depths of prayer do we now plumb or could we later learn? A sermon is a set of dialogues clothed in a univocal affirmation. What conversations, what calls and responses bear meaning therein? Do any of the newer technologies open us to conversation or not? Are we growing in our capacity for gracious conversation? Come and join in. Where we can be personally helpful to you and where our staff, chaplains, and campus ministers can be a benefit and blessing to you, do not hesitate to call upon us. John Wesley famously called conversation a means of grace. May grace expand and extend in meaning for us in 2016.
Or think about this rumination on conversation from David Brooks. Recently, I've been thinking about the difference between resume virtues and eulogy virtues. The resume virtues are the ones you list on your resume, the skills that you bring to the job market and that contribute to external success. The eulogy virtues are deeper. They're the virtues that get talked about at your funeral, the ones that exist at the core of your being, whether you're kind, brave, honest, or faithful, what kind of relationships you formed.
Every week begins with Sunday, a day of rest and worship. May our conversations this year begin in a prayerful spirit. So we pray. Gracious God, holy and just, whose mercy is over all thy works, we invoke thy blessing today as we embark on this new journey. Guide us as we sail out for points unknown, ports unseen, and horizons unexplored. Be our North Star, our compass, our sextant. Keep a clean wind blowing through our lives to make us happy and humble. Help us to seek shelter when the gusts of loneliness and failure threaten to capsize. Bless and help us to be a blessing to those commissioned to sail the ship, to set our course, and to lead the way. And a special intercession today for all sailors and crew on the Good Ship 2020. For those on the bridge, wisdom. For those learning the ropes, patience. For those working in the rigging, a light heart. For those who bid farewell at the gangplank, our parents, thanksgiving, thanksgiving for the birth pangs that brought life, the hands that prepared us to sail, the hearts that forgave and conditioned and seasoned us, for the tear-filled eyes and proud hearts that wave to us as the ship leaves the harbor, our mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, and our communities of meaning, belonging, and empowerment. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving. O thou who stills waters and calm seas, grant us fair winds, bright skies, and an adventurous voyage. Amen.
May we together have the courage to set sail and not simply lie still in the harbor. May we together have the courage of conversation, which sees and hears in Jesus the Christ, our beacon, not our boundary. Jesus, our beacon, not our boundary. May we have the kind of conversation that draws on the past and guides into the future, that translates the tradition into insights for effective living. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And we do so with a glad spirit and a joyful heart here at Boston University, along the trail of learning and virtue and piety. Boston University, proud with mission sure, keeping the light of knowledge high, long to endure, treasuring the best of all that's old, searching out the new. Boston University, our alma mater, hail be you.